Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. I am Lee Cantor, and today I am so happy to have in the studio with me Miss Debbie Fitzgerald. How you doing, Debbie?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Lee?
I am excited because you're with Fitzgerald PR, and PR is one of my favorite subjects. Mm-hmm. And you're here to share with the world how PR works and why people should be interested in exploring that as part of their marketing. Is that right?
That sounds right.
You go with that? You'll go with that?
I'll go with that.
So why don't you talk about how, what do you call PR? Because I know it's kind of a moving target nowadays. PR, advertising, marketing, it's kind of blurred in some
people.
It does seem
like a moving target. PR is kind of a funny thing. I mean, I went to business school and, I guess it wasn't till my 30s that I realized what PR was.
What did you think you were doing before?
I don't know, marketing, whatever, but PR is it is kind of a moving target, and it's kind of fun because there's always something new coming into the world of PR, like social media and blah 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 blah. But the basics of it is, it's always about, to me, finding the right stories, having the right message, and just really getting the word out.
About your client and in a non-salesy kind of way, right?
Yeah, about their products, their services at events. And you're right. Non-servicey is a very good word to use because it's not about...
It's not pitchy, like, right? You got to tell the story.
Yeah, and you have to say it in an honest way.
Right.
In a truthful, factual way. So public relations is actually helping out the public, get to know about your company.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also important to put the information out in a factual way.
Right. Now, I would think that social media plays extremely well with public relations.
It does.
It's because that's about conversations and it's about sharing stories. And I would think that the big move to social media has been a boon for PR people like you. Has it been?
It has. I think it's definitely one of those things you have to add to your toolkit. It's really just part of the toolkit. There's traditional media, which I'm an expert in, and then there's social media, which you just add to it. And
Right. And
with social media, you really have to kind of become more of a content provider,
right,
in a lot of ways. And you have to get and join in the conversation. There's just a lot of people out there, talking about certain subjects, and there's really interesting ways on how to search and find and figure out who's talking and what they're talking about and how you can join the conversation and what it means to your particular situation. And, if you have a product or service, how are you going to join in the conversation? Are you going to join and create something so people can talk with you? You can talk to your customers in different ways. So
is that media relations? Is that the same kind of media relations maybe you were doing 10 years ago? Because, as a blogger, is that the media?
Not really. It wasn't really interactive.
Right. So what was it like before? Was it just you approaching kind of different news outlets and saying, hey, my client's doing something interesting, and now you're kind of putting out information and letting kind of the media find you? How has the strategy changed? Is that too hard? I didn't mean to.
Trick. I've been in the business long enough to you remember doing a lot of faxes to everybody and all that
and
kind of
press
stuff.
Press releases, blasting. Yeah. Do you still do that? Is that even relevant nowadays?
I have a dead fax machine in my corner of my office,
right,
but I actually will plug it in to send something every now and then.
Right.
It doesn't really receive anymore. But that's, to me, it's good to have because you never know when you might need it.
Right.
It's always something somebody needs.
But that was a go-to piece of machinery at one
absolutely
point, right? That was like you had to have that, and you had to send out these blasts to people to let them know what's going on.
Yeah, and then email came out, and that's still my best friend.
So you send things out to journalists through email?
Yeah, mostly that's how I do it. I work a lot with the media through email and phone and relationships that we've built over time. But the key fact of going out to the media is having something that you think is newsworthy,
right?
That they would be able to use, or there's an expert that they're going to be able to talk with and get a good angle on a story, a news, something that's happening, talk to somebody about trends and stuff like that.
Right.
So, you can, there's a lot of conversation within the PR industry about, do we want to pitch a media person via Twitter, via Facebook.
Are journalists on Twitter and Facebook?
They are.
Right.
And then I follow them, and probably some of them follow me. And, and you know, the fun thing is what I love about this whole interaction with the media now, with PR professionals, is that you're able to kind of find out what they might need that day because
they're letting you
put
down,
it on
right?
a, you know, on Twitter, like, I need an expert source to talk about, you know, XYZ. And you're like, oh, I
got
have
one
somebody.
Of those.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then usually you call them or, you know, or email them because, you know, emailing is just a great way to send information. So,
sure. And that's okay. The journalists are okay with that. That's an acceptable way. Do they like the phone calls or that's kind of a hit or miss?
That's hit or miss it.
Well, if they're on a deadline, I'm sure they care. They don't want a lot of phone calls. But if,
well, that's where you have to know how to reach you. You don't want to go and just go into a pitch right when they answer the phone. It's like, oh, do you have time right now to talk? And, you know, like, no, I don't. Well, yeah, because you're on deadline. So, yeah, you got to be mindful.
Right. Now, can you walk us through, like, when you start working with a client, what's that experience like? Like, how much research do you have to do to kind of really get to know what they're about? Like, they may think they have certain needs, and then maybe you kind of see it a little differently, I would imagine.
I think you're right. I think it's fun having a PR professional on your team because they will most likely see things in a different light that maybe you haven't noticed before. And I just think that our profession is very creative. So,
so what's it like? Pretend I'm your client. I'm your client. So what are some of the things you would ask me?
I would ask, we would definitely sit down and have long conversations. Well, not days, but, you know, hours at a time or, you know, hour or two, just to find out about what you know, what you're knowledgeable about. Find out, you know, everything from who your competitors are.
Right.
So we can follow what they're doing.
Right.
And just learn everything about the services and products and what your audience is. Because the target audience is really key for us to know who we're going to go out and reach and bring messages to.
Right.
Some clients don't have a lot of time.
Have time to do this?
Do a lot of PR. They just want you to come and, you know, give them the media person they're interviewing and let's discuss talking points and let's get on the phone.
Wow.
You know, let's do
Does
the interview.
Does that work? You can do that at that?
Oh, yeah. Well, with a certain level of client.
Right.
Those that really get it.
Right. But yeah. I would think that PR isn't something you can do kind of on a project basis, that you kind of got to go all in on it, that you have to say, you know what, I'm going to do this for a period of time and I'm going to see how this plays out. Because I would imagine PR, there's no guarantee. Like, just because they think, like, I want to be on the cover of the Wall Street Journal, and it's like, I'm sure you have clients that say that, I want to be, you know, in the news, or I want to be somewhere. And it's not like you're gonna go, hey, Wall Street Journal, I got a client, you put them on the front page. You know, it doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work that way unless you have a lot of money, and that'd be called advertising.
Right. But you're not trying to advertise. You're trying to get them mentioned and get them placed in stories about what they're doing.
Yep.
That's a little more nuanced, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, clients have to understand public relations, and it is an overtime kind of thing. You know, you're trying to build your relationship within the media and the target audience that's watching or reading or
it's not like you flip a switch. Like, like you were saying, advertising, you can go out and make a buy, and then the picture of your product can be everywhere.
Well, yeah, I mean,
right?
You know that advertising. Yeah, you can. It's you talking about yourself,
right?
And the fun thing
that's
about
instant though.
Yeah,
but like PR is not instant.
It's not instant, and we don't talk to anybody in the advertising department, you know.
Right, it's separate.
At the studios or anywhere, it's definitely separate. Some clients don't realize that, you know, there is that difference. They'll think that PR is advertising, but advertising is talking about yourself, and PR is really getting a third-party endorsement, whether that's from a media person that writes about your service or something, or maybe a stakeholder that comes to your event, and they're just having their presence there is like, yeah, we approve you and the message that you're putting out.
Now, talk about the event side of this. How does PR work in an event setting?
Well,
do you create events for your clients?
Exactly. You can have just an idea in your head, and then a PR person can implement and bring together everything from who's going to be at the event, what's going to be said at the event, what's the exciting thing that's going to happen at the event, and, you know, how are we going to, what day are you going to do it?
So you have you done events for some clients? You've created events?
I have, actually.
So do you have an example? Can you share? Is that confidential?
Well, there is a confidential event, but I have been part of a wonderful team of people that have worked with Coca-Cola. And we had recently done an event that I've helped with America is Your Park, which is the second annual campaign that they had out.
So it usually just ties in with charity? Is that
it typically? Does. And they were generous enough that, you know, the company gave away $10,000 to Washington Park. And so we had stakeholders there. We had elected officials that we invited. We had the plan of who's going to speak, you know, when. The WNBA was also involved, and they had a fit clinic for kids that were there.
Right.
And so, like, you know, we just put the whole thing together from getting the tents to the microphones to, you know, getting the media there.
How do you come up with the idea of, hey, let's tie in with this park? Like, how does that even, like, does the park say, hey, we have this need? And then, like, how do you make that into kind of bigger thing than it is?
Well, actually, you know, a lot of times it's not the park coming to you. It's, you know, it's your idea of let's do something and we want to give money away as like a recreational grant, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And then finding out.
I like money. You know, I'll take some of that.
Who are we really want to give this to? And so there's some kind of process. It all depends on what it is. But you have a process. You choose. And then, you know, hopefully under the guidelines that we want to spend money on, you know, recreation and something that would make people be more active.
Right.
Then we actually went to the park with the
park
officials. Yeah, it went and walked around the park and looked around and like, well, this park could use that. And
sure,
that could probably work in the budget. Let's work it out. And finally, it worked together. So
on one hand, you have to look at the mission of your client, and then you have to kind of be a matchmaker to find the right outlet for them to kind of participate.
That's right.
Yeah, so that must be kind of fun, I would think, because now you have this concept. And now you got to go out there and you got to make this. You know, that's starting from a blank page.
Yeah, and that's what I love about what I do. Because really, you know, when I sell to a potential client, I'm not really giving them anything tangible.
Right.
You know, it's all just hypothetical.
Right.
You know, which is kind of weird because you trust in me because, you know, I've done this for years.
Right.
So, you know, I don't really exactly know what it's going to all look like at the end, but I know the process of doing it. So it is kind of fun. It's a creative thing. And that's why I love what I do, is making something out of nothing.
Right. That must be exciting.
Yeah. It's an art.
But it's also, it must be challenging to communicate this because you have to sell something that doesn't exist and then it'll turn it to something that it does. So I'm sure that's a challenge.
Yeah.
Now, do you primarily work B2B or B2C? Do you have a sweet spot?
I do both, but I have been working more with B2B with in the financial world, but I really enjoyed early on in our career. I've been doing this for about 9 years with Fitzgerald PR and 16 overall, but I really do enjoy working with B2C as well. It just really depends. I mean, I love a good story.
Right.
You know, if there's a great story with some kind of interesting B2C type of client, I'm like going to want to get it and work on it. Like, for example, one of the clients I had when I met him, he didn't tell me why we were meeting. He wanted to tell me in person that he was an animal communicator.
Okay.
Somebody that talks with animals.
Right.
So I was like,
was he a doctor?
No, he was a corporate executive prior to in the telecommunications.
It wasn't Dr. Doolittle. No,
but he kind of was. But he didn't really want that Dr. Doolittle title. But, you know, I sat and thought about it. And I'm like, that's really kind of an interesting story.
Right.
Corporate executive turned animal communicator. Just one day found out he can talk to animals. And they talk to him and he understands them and he talks back. So, you know, that definitely is a service to a certain niche of people that are into the whole pet, like love their pet, really want to know what they're thinking.
Right.
So, but won an award for that, by the way. So you never know what client's going to get you even, you know, some recognition in the industry.
So what did you do for them that gotten the award?
You know, the fun thing is we started off with putting together some really good photos of him with animals, with horses, with birds, with fish, cat, dog. They were very creative. So we had a little toolkit.
Right.
Put together a whole press package, put together a campaign, and one of the first things we had going out was, we reached the Atlanta market where he was, but the Associated Press, I pitched the right person, and she's in New York, this writer, and she's like, oh, I've got two cats.
Personally had two cats?
Yeah, she's, I've got two cats sitting in this apartment here in New York. I would love to to talk with him about my cats. When we knew this was a little risky,
right?
We had no idea how it would go, but it did end up in our favor because she actually really enjoyed talking to him.
So he flew to New York?
No, just over the phone.
He talked to the cat.
He talked
over
to the cat. He needed a picture of the cat.
We don't judge here.
No, so. I mean, it worked out great. She had a really fun piece that ended up all over the place because, syndicated.
Right. So she was a syndicated writer for AP. Right.
And it was great. It was multimedia. It was perfect. She was going to go do Man on the Street interviews in New York. Just happened to be raining that day. So we didn't get that in. But it worked out. And then after that, the next day, we got a call from a talk show up in New York. And so we were on a plane.
Wow. And then off you go.
Yeah. Sometimes things snowball.
Now, I think that's something that maybe the general public doesn't understand, that talk shows typically get their guests, or not typically, but a lot of times get their guests from something they read, little blurb somewhere in some newspaper somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. Yeah.
And it doesn't just happen accidentally. They're scouring this stuff because they want to find that little interesting tidbit.
Yeah, they are. And they want to be the first ones to get it.
Right. Well, actually the second, because somebody, maybe a smaller media outlet has discovered something and wrote something. And then some larger media outlet says, hey, this is quirky. Let's do something with this.
Yeah. I don't think like a large national television show is going to think that, Forsyth County News is their competition,
Right,
so
exactly.
It's like, oh, great. We heard it from them and, hey, let's tell the rest of the country about this story.
But that happens a lot, though, right? That's not unusual for something like that to happen.
No. I wouldn't think it's unusual at all.
Mm-mm. Right.
So, I think they find it on internet and everything.
Right.
It's all about, like YouTube might have had it first, but hey, we're going to, everybody's into it. So.
And then they can take kind of maybe a different angle or to put their little spin on it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. And that's,
it is fun.
And that's why I think one of the benefits of public relations as opposed to advertising is, It can have legs like that where an ad is never going to have that. People don't say, oh, that was a good ad. Let me talk about it over here in this other outlet,
I suppose if it's a Super Bowl ad, maybe that would have a little more legs. But
right? That if you have a story written, you never know where that thing's going to go.
Yeah, that's true. And, in his case, it really did turn into more clients. He had clients from the UK to Seattle.
Right, because all of a sudden now he has instant credibility because they saw it in all these different outlets. Now, how do you manage the expectations with your clients? Because, that was a home run for you and the client, I'm sure. But sometimes you're trying and you're doing all this stuff and maybe it's not going as fast as they would like or they in their head they think it should go.
I agree. Sometimes you might feel like you're stalling. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine that as long as you're looking at all the aspects of your company and finding out, what is our message? What's going on in our business? Do we have deals to talk about? Do we have nothing to talk about?
Right.
Okay, if you don't have anything to talk about, that's when the PR person really does have to kind of maybe get a little bit creative.
Right.
Are there like five things of your business that you can help your audience with? What are the top five things that are their pains? That you usually help solve.
So you work kind of as like a thought starter. You start kind of brainstorming. Okay, look, we're going to create some news or create some story. Mm-hmm. That, because most businesses, I would think, I'm a plumber. I fix somebody's plumbing. And, they get so bogged down in the minutia of what they do. They don't think that it's that interesting because they do it every single day. But maybe when a PR person comes in and they have kind of fresh eyes, you can go, oh, you know how to fix that using this? And, might be able to find something.
And in the case of a plumber, it's like, what are the most interesting places you've done work in?
Right. Or what's the funniest thing you found in the drain or,
ooh, that's good. See? And it takes that collaboration sometimes with your client or with your colleagues, PR colleagues. I think, it's great for us to get together, as groups and just powwow and brainstorm. Because really, when you're brainstorming, anything can go. Anything goes. And you might have to tailor it down a little bit before you talk to your client about some of your ideas. But when you're in that position where you really don't have news, like you're doing work that you can't talk about publicly,
right,
or until something, a deal's closed. Well, you can certainly, there's times where you need to prepare. I mean, there's a time where you're going to prepare for maybe crisis management. What if something happened? What
right.
if, you know, what if something personally went wacky with the CEO? And, you know, there, right. there are all those things you can do to get going. But I think the main point is to really develop the relationships with the media people, even if they don't have any deals going on.
Right.
Because you can just say, well, here's who they are. You know, here's what they can talk about. Here's some
right.
talking points. Perhaps there's something that they have an opinion on in one of the stories that they're writing
mm-hmm.
Or producing.
So is that one of the first things you do when you get a new client is kind of build a media list of who are the relevant media around that client?
I do. And a lot of that, you know, can be based on some of the research that the firm has had, and they know who their audience is.
Right. So it could be a trade magazine writer mm-hmm. or it could be a TV person or,
yep.
and they covers that
and
industry.
You really got to find, you know, the detailed person kind of in charge of that certain beat, because
right.
You don't really want to, you know, pitch the lifestyle reporter, you know,
right.
something about the banking industry.
Right. It's irrelevant to them,
unless it, you know, has to do with your life and banking,
right.
you know, then that's a whole other thing. But there's all these little ways to even find a new way to pitch a new beat reporter.
Right.
That's off your beat. So if you get creative enough, you know, you can really find more than you think you can
sure.
to pitch.
But that's where I guess hiring a seasoned PR person has value. You probably have a network of journalists and media people that you already know for lots and lots of clients over the years.
I do, but, you know, there's like millions of those people out there, the media people, and, you know, it just depends. Certainly, you know, I'm working in the financial industry, so I know a lot of the financial
right.
people
but they'll take
all
your
over the
call
country.
Ahead mm-hmm. of, you'll take your call maybe ahead of somebody that's just, it's their first day.
Yeah, they might. And the reason they may is because I've worked with them before
right.
and I've given them
and
a
something
source.
Good, right.
Yeah, that they can use to tell their story properly.
Right.
And, you know, they can come back to me. I get people calling me all the time, you know,
sure.
like, oh, we're doing the story, you know, could you have somebody for me?
Right. I've met a lot of journalists, and it's like we were saying earlier, when they're on deadline, they're just, their heads down and they're just slamming. They don't have a minute to spare because they're under a lot of pressure, and you got to be sensitive to that. But then there's other times when they do have some time, and that's when you maybe have more time to kind of get into what are their needs and how your client can kind of solve a problem.
Yeah, and that's when you're lucky enough to go out and have lunch with them.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't happen that often, but
sure.
when you find a you know, a reporter that really likes to have lunch, that's a good one.
Right.
Especially like the financial reporters that are at the Atlanta Business Chronicle, for example. There's
right.
been a lot of turnover.
Sure.
And if I've had lunch with everyone, except for the new gal that's there. So it's
right.
like, you know, it's like time to have lunch with her
right.
if she's up for it, you know.
Right.
Because they're very interested in getting to know the community, too, just sort of like you are.
Right.
You know, you're out there and you really want to know, you know, what other people know, because you
right.
really they rely on the experts that we provide to give them the information they need to write their story.
Right. And it's important, I guess, to look at it through the journalist's eyes. They're under pressure. They have deadlines. They want the story to be as interesting as possible also. You know, they don't want to have the same two sources over
yeah.
and over again.
And
you know,
they've got their editors or producers above them saying, well, it's got to have this kind of,
right.
you know, information in it. And they're like, I can't find it.
Right. And where am I supposed to find this,
yeah.
you know, this pet communicator? How do I know where
yeah.
there's a pet communicator?
I,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I love it how, mm-hmm. yeah, they do definitely. I have heard enjoy the relationships with their PR friends. I mean, friends, I call them friends. I mean, we're not really ever friends because we're really talking about business when we're
right.
talking and communicating together, and they know that we're getting paid by our clients,
sure.
so they're a little bit you know, wary of certain information they might get. So that's why it's important for me to always give them the straight skinny. I don't want to give fluffy
right exactly
stuff to them, because that's like doesn't make any sense.
Well, you both need each other. I mean, that's...
They need me.
They need you to do their stories. You need them to get your clients' information out there. So, I mean...
But, there's so much content out there that they all need on a daily basis that
yeah.
it is a breath of fresh air to get a really good, nicely packaged story
right.
or
it makes
message.
Their job easier.
Yeah, I guess in a sense it would.
Now, you said earlier that you started this firm, what, 9 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
8 years ago? So were you, before you were working for a larger agency?
Yeah, before that I was working, well, not much larger, not much actually. Larger. I'm getting almost to be as large as I believe they were. But I was working with a very similar situation. I found a public relations boutique firm in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. And shout out to Elizabeth Vendelay at Vendelay Communications. She took me on because I was with her for, I think, 2 years because I was searching for her. Uh-huh. I'm like, after being in the entertainment business for a while,
right?
Kind of working in marketing roles and corporate communication roles and then learning more about public relations and all that jazz, I started looking for a permanent job in the public relations firm. And when I found them, it was so wonderful.
Now, what was your job with them?
Oh, I was really an account executive, which uh-huh. is handling client accounts, doing the pitching, doing the messaging, writing
the press
releases.
Did you have to find the account, or once they had the account, then you were servicing?
See, that's
the
difference, because back then I was handed the account.
Right. You that's know? A different world, right?
That's a different world. Right. And they were fun accounts, you know. And there were a variety of things. I worked with a couple producers, you know, help them get the word out about themselves in Los Angeles, which is kind of hard to do because there's like a thousand producers in Los Angeles.
Sure.
But they were, you know, looking to get more business. And I helped them get into Los Angeles Business Journal, Los Angeles Times. And the story angle I found out, when I went to visit them in their office, they were sitting, they had two desks, sort of like what we're doing here.
Right.
Right together. And they were like Good Morning America producers.
Uh-huh.
But they've known each other. He was like East Coast and she was like, you know, West Coast. And so they met in Los Angeles and they developed their own production company. And so they had shared one office with their desks right next to each other. And I just thought that was funny. So I put together a press kit and I wrote a little photo caption on the picture because I took a picture of them.
Right.
And it said, "These two are two successful Hollywood producers. You'd think they could afford their own desks." You know, so that caught the attention. Back then, we actually had some package press kits we put right. together. Caught the attention of a lot of people. And the perfect timing was they were going back to New York to pitch clients to right. to do more work. And so they had a nice little press kit. So that helps, too. Adds some credibility, you know.
Right.
Just
And you need that even now. It might take an electronic form, though, right? A press kit nowadays?
Yeah. Actually, I was thinking, though, like, I wonder if I should just go back to sending us something in the mail. Like, they probably never get things
right.
in the mail anymore.
You send a
FedEx? I'm probably totally wrong, though. No. They'd probably all go, "Now we get crap
what
all
is
the
this?
Time. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard story after story. Things just go, you know, they look at it, goes
throw
in the trash.
Away.
Please don't send us anything. Please.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the
you
challenges.
You know, it's like they get enough junk mail. So it's very important, you know. I guess the good thing about having a PR person is they know, you know, when they're going to reach out to the reporter, they don't want to go out with any stuff. They want to have something good. And,
sure.
And we don't want to, you know, abuse any relationships with just, you know, throwing spam at them. You know,
right.
That's one way of never getting a call.
Well, I guess that's the relations part of media relations, right? That it's, you know, you got to know what they like and how they want their information, and you give it to them in the manner that they'd like.
That's what it is. You're right. Mm. And the way, why I like media relations is, you know, the turnover of certain reporters at certain papers or wherever, it's pretty high.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see a Business Journal reporter go off and work with, you know, Reuters or something. And you're just like, oh, well, that's kind of good. Or like one of my Business Journal reporters went off to American Banker, which is
right.
great because
now
I
you
love
have a
American
contact
Banker.
There,
yeah,
because right.
like, you know, I already work with them. And,
yeah,
you so know, that, it's I've got to keep that and maintain that list.
Sure.
You know, who wants to do that? Does anybody have time to do that
no.
in a busy
No, that's
firm.
Like a job by itself.
It is a job by itself.
Sure.
So that's why we're outsourced by firms that really don't want to do it in-house. Because those that have a very, very large amount of employees, they have in-house PR people.
Sure.
But for me, as an independent counselor, you know, you can hire me if you have 50 employees or something.
Right.
And you just don't have that need for that.
The full-time
person.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more about your firm and different ways they can that you could help them, do you have a website?
I do have a website. I have a cobweb right now site, but it's FitzgeraldPR.com.
And then what stuff's on there? Is it maybe some of the stuff you've done?
Yeah, there's a little bit of testimonial, a little bit of a case study on there, a little bit of frequently asked questions that I get a lot from people about, you know, timing, like if we're having an event, how quickly should I call you? Well, don't call me, you know, a week before it.
Right.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Need more than a week.
Give me like, you know, 3 months prior.
Months, right.
Yeah. And those kind of things, you know, I want to be on Oprah. Well,
tomorrow.
Okay, Oprah's off the air. Well, maybe not. But, you know, why would you want to be on Oprah? Maybe that's not the right place for you.
Right. But they just think in their head.
I know.
Be cool.
If that's all you want, you're just going to be waiting a long time. Right.
I can get you a ticket to Oprah, maybe.
Yeah. So anyway, the website's got our contact information and photos of us and all that great stuff. But we are in the process of updating it.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Miss Debbie Fitzgerald. And you shared a lot of great information. And we look forward to learning more about you when maybe you come back with some client of yours, share maybe their
sure,
story.
Sure, absolutely.
For that?
That'd All be
right.
fun.
Cool.
Thank
All
you.
Right. All right. This is Lee Cantor for Atlanta Business Radio. We will see you all next week.